I'm so glad that each one of you is here this morning. As we launch this new campus of North Langley Community Church, I'm so excited for every single person that God is going to be drawing to this campus and to building his church here. We want to just remember that, yes, the name on the building is North Langley Community Church, but it's Jesus' church. We're building it on his foundation. He's the chief architect. He's the cornerstone. We want to remember that in all that we do here. As I was thinking about how to kick off our first Sunday at Willowbrook, I was actually really struggling with what to preach on. What do you preach on for like the beginning of a church launch, a campus launch? Like, do you have to start in Genesis? Like, do you start with like creation of the world? That's where we're going to start, right there. I felt like that might turn off a few people. So then I was like, well, what about like the birth of Jesus? That's pretty important, right? Like, no, Christmas is coming in a couple months. Let's wait. So, today, for our first sermon at Willowbrook, I want to share an invitation with you. Think about the excitement that you have when you receive an invitation, right? An invitation to something special, something that you'd actually love to do. Maybe it's to a wedding of a friend, and you're like, yes, I get to go to this wedding. Or it's a fun birthday party. Or a soccer match. Someone calls you and says, I have extra tickets to the Vancouver Whitecaps game to watch them and Thomas Miller play. Would you like to go? Yes, I would like to go. Absolutely. Just dropping a little subtle hint there. When you receive an invitation, right, whether it's a phone call or a text or a letter in the mail, you're excited, right? It feels good. It feels good to be invited, to be welcomed, to be wanted. Think about why you're here this morning at Willowbrook. Someone invited you. Maybe it was a friend or a family member. Maybe you got a phone call or a text from me or from Pastor Eric. Maybe it was a less personal invitation. You just saw a poster or something on Facebook, but you clicked yes, and that was your invitation, and you came. And you knew it was for you, and you responded. But even before that invitation to Willowbrook, all of us actually are receiving an invitation today. It's for every single person here. It's short, it's simple, it's the most life-changing invitation you will ever receive. It's an invitation from Jesus himself, and it's simply this: follow me. Follow me. We're going to look at a short story in the Bible, in the book of John, where Jesus actually extends that invitation to follow him. And then we'll talk a little bit more about what that means for us and how we can respond to it. If you're new to the Bible, the book of John is one of four accounts of Jesus' life that we have. And it's written by one of his closest friends, the disciple John. We're going to be reading from chapter 1, verses 43 to 46 in just a moment. This story takes place at the beginning of Jesus' kind of public ministry. It's one of our first introductions to Jesus, by the way. Jesus is hanging out in a place called Bethany near the Jordan River, where John the Baptist is baptizing people. By the way, this is a different John from the one who wrote the book, just to clarify. And just before this story that we're going to read, John the Baptist has been pointing out Jesus to his followers and saying, he's the one, he's the Messiah, he's the chosen one, he's the Lamb of God. By the way, we could do a whole sermon series just on those names of God, but we'll save that for later. John's disciples are curious. Who is this Lamb of God? And a few of them, like Andrew and Simon Peter, start to hang out with Jesus that day. Let's read what happens next, starting at verse 43. If you want to read from your Bible, you're welcome to follow along there. Otherwise, we will have it on the screen as well if you want to follow up there. This is John chapter 1, starting at verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We've found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. We're going to try something here as a church that you may be familiar with, depending on where you've gone to church before or your church background and tradition, but it may be new to you, and that's okay. After we read our scripture passage, we'll say, "This is the word of the Lord," and then you can answer, "Thanks be to God." Okay, so we're going to try that right now. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray again as we prepare to study God's word. Jesus, I thank you so much for your invitation to follow you. Thank you that invitation is for us today as well. So help us all this morning to hear it in a fresh way. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would soften every heart here today to hear that and to be able to respond to that invitation again. Amen. So Jesus finds Philip, and he simply says, "Follow me." It's such a simple invitation. And I wonder what was going through Philip's mind at that moment. How much did he know about Jesus already? What was it about Jesus, about that invitation, that made him say yes? Get up and go and follow Jesus. Did he have any idea what he was getting himself into? His invitation, Jesus' invitation to Philip, is simply, follow me. But it's an invitation into a relationship, to get to know Jesus, to spend time with him. It's also an invitation for us to get to know Jesus and to open up our hearts to him, right? To trust him more. Just like in any relationship, as Eric and Jane were sharing, there's this relationship where you're getting to know each other and it takes time. When Jesus meets us, the invitation is to him. It's to a person. It's not to a set of rules or a set of beliefs. It's not even to a set of teachings, though that's important, and Jesus does have a lot of good things to teach us that we want to look at. But it's to a relationship with Jesus. And there's no specified location for this, right? Like, usually an invitation has, like, this is where this event is happening. This invitation is to a person. So we follow him wherever he leads us. Did you notice, too, that there's no date on the invitation, right? Again, that's another thing that normally would be on an invite. This is when this is happening. That's because this, I think, is a daily invitation. It's one that is ongoing, an invitation to a lifelong journey with Jesus. Jesus invites all of us today, follow me. Day by day, step by step, following him, walking with him. We don't just say yes once and that's it. This is an invitation we receive and we respond to every day. I love hiking. It's one of my favorite things to do. If my friend Jonathan invites me to go for a hike, I immediately want to say yes. I love hiking with Jonathan. But saying yes actually means going on the hike, right? Like putting one foot after the other as we go up the trail on the mountain. If I say yes to Jonathan, and then I just actually stay home and sit on the couch and watch Netflix, I have not truly responded to the invitation, right? And Jesus' invitation for us is the same as it was for Philip. Follow me. Keep following me. Don't give up. Keep taking one step after the other on the journey. There's no time to sit back on the couch and just pretend that you've arrived. There's still more to learn and to discover about Jesus. The first step, of course, is an important one, right? We all have to take that first step. Every journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step, as the saying goes. But along the journey, Jesus keeps inviting us to follow him daily. I first heard Jesus' invitation to follow him as a young child. I grew up with parents who were Christians, who loved Jesus, and they taught us about him. And so I heard that invitation as a young child, and I responded to it just by praying a simple prayer to say, "Yes, Jesus, I want to follow you. Forgive me for the things I've done wrong. Save me." And that was kind of the start of my journey walking with Jesus. Later, as a teen, I felt Jesus calling me to be baptized, to take that step of saying, yes, I belong to Jesus, and to take that step publicly of being baptized. And that was a big milestone for me in following Jesus. But the journey kept on going, right? That was not the end there either with baptism. As a young adult in university, I struggled a lot with doubts about God, about his goodness and his love, and whether I still wanted to follow Jesus or not. But Jesus' invitation for me was still there. He hadn't retracted it. He hadn't taken it back. And eventually, I was able to hear that invitation again and respond to it. I said, "Yes, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to follow you even though I still have doubts, even though I'm not sure about everything about you. I want to follow you. I want to trust you." You see, Jesus' invitation to me was consistent, even when I was not. So friends, no matter where we are in our life, our age, on our faith journey, the invitation is the same. Follow me. And Jesus' invitation into relationship, it's to a particular kind of relationship, right? It's to what we like to call apprenticeship to him. When John the Baptist's disciples first met Jesus, they called him Rabbi, which means teacher. So Jesus' invitation to Philip, that first one, is of a rabbi, right? A master teacher, inviting a pupil to learn from him, to study under him. At Willowbrook, you'll hear us using that language of apprenticeship and apprentice a lot. We use that in kind of in place of discipleship, which might be a word that you're more familiar with. But apprentice and apprenticeship, we believe, captures the heart of what Jesus is getting at here. The biblical idea of being a follower of Jesus. And maybe it's a term that you're familiar with from everyday life, right? Like we talk about apprentices. Apprentices is one who is learning from a master. People do apprenticeships in lots of different areas. We're probably most familiar with those with tradespeople, right? Like carpentry or plumbing or an electrician. What does an apprentice do? He or she is watching the master, right? They're paying attention to what the master craftsman is doing. They're learning from the master. They're starting to imitate the master craftsman. They're soaking up all that they can, right? The skills, the knowledge, the little tricks of the trade, as we call them. That's what we're invited to do with Jesus. He's our master. We're apprentices to him, and so we're watching him. We're learning from him. We're starting to imitate him. We're becoming more like him. By the way, when it comes to practical trades, like carpentry or electrician stuff, I am utterly useless. Utterly useless. I feel a little bit embarrassed about saying that. I don't know. I think there's this thing about like being the man in the house. You feel like you need to be able to fix things in your house. This is kind of what I grew up thinking. But honestly, I am useless. So anytime there's something that has to be fixed, I call one of my practical friends. And I say, please help me install this dishwasher or put in this screen door or whatever it is. And I'm very thankful for those practical friends. My father-in-law, on the other hand, is a builder. He has built lots of houses and knows how to do all that kind of stuff, right? Framing, plumbing, electrical work, he can do it all. And he's awesome at that kind of practical stuff. So every time he comes to visit from Ontario, Lillian has this long list of things for her dad to do. I call it the list of stuff that Ben couldn't figure out. Last time it was new light fixtures in our kitchen. But when he's there, if I have time, I try to watch him at least a little bit, right? Like to see, okay, like how do you do that? What's one little thing that I can learn from him? But I am a long way off from becoming a master like him. Sometimes I feel that way with Jesus too. I've been walking with Jesus. I've been following him almost my whole life, since I can remember. But there's still so much to learn from him. There's still so much I don't understand. And I realize, too, how far I am from becoming like Jesus. So, I want to keep following him every day. Day by day, spend time with him. Walk with him, step by step. Now, you might be here this morning, and you might be wondering, why Jesus? Why should I follow him? We get just a little clue in the short passage we're looking at here today from John chapter 1. Remember, Philip finds Nathanael, and then he tells him, we've found the one Moses wrote about in the law, about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Jesus, son of Joseph, the son of a carpenter from Nazareth, this teacher who's kind of wandering about on the shores of the Jordan River, the one that Moses wrote about in the law? Well, that's the first five books of the Hebrew Bible. He's the one that the prophets wrote about, prophets like Daniel and Isaiah and Micah and others. Hundreds of years before Jesus, they were writing about this chosen one, God's chosen one who would come, the true king, the one who would deliver Israel from their enemies, who would set all things right, the one who would rescue them from their sins, and he would take away the sin of the whole world. And to understand all this, of course, we have to understand Israel's story, the story of God's people, and how God was working through them to point people to himself. And then we need to look at Jesus' claims about himself as well, to be the Son of God, to be the way, the truth, and the life, the resurrection. I think we've got lots of sermon topics that we can still touch on at Willowbrook here, at least for the next couple months. But somehow, right, somehow in that instance, we don't know how much he knew. Follow me. Philip heard that, and he responded. He followed Jesus You can read more about his story in the book of Acts. He gets up to some pretty cool adventures in the book of Acts. Did you notice that there's a second invitation in the passage? Let's look at that now. Verse 45, 46. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. Philip meets Jesus, and then he goes off and he invites his friend Nathanael to come also follow him. He says, "I found the one, the chosen one, the Messiah." But Nathanael is skeptical. He doesn't believe it. He's biased against Nazareth. That's one thing. "How can anything good come from that town?" he asks. You can insert your own town or city here. "Can anything good come from..." Don't say it out loud. Thank you. When we tell people about Jesus, though, sometimes that's the reaction we might get, right? "Jesus? No way. You're inviting me to church? No thanks. I'm not interested. I've been burned by the church. I've read all about the scandals in the church. Nothing good can come from that. The Bible? Ah, not for me. That's just an old, boring book." I love Philip's response to the skepticism. He doesn't argue with Nathanael. He doesn't give him a theological argument or try to refute him. He simply says, "Come and see. Come and see Jesus. Come and experience Jesus for yourself. Come and see what I found, the joy, the life, the hope, the purpose that he brings. Whatever your biases, whatever your stereotypes, whatever you think you know, just come and see. Come and see." And as we respond to Jesus' invitation, as we follow him, we get to extend that invitation to others, right? We get to say, "Come and see." We point people to Jesus to encounter him for themselves. We do this not out of duty or obligation, but because we've experienced the joy of that invitation ourselves and we want to pass it on. As we launch this new campus of North Langley, we have an amazing opportunity to invite people to come and see, right? People are curious. What's happening there? We get to invite them. Come and get to know Jesus. Come and join us in following Jesus together. That invitation is for every one of us here today. All of us get to say yes to Jesus again. Jesus' invitation is to us personally, right? It's to each one of us here this morning. But it's not an individual thing, because it's actually an invitation to following Jesus together, an invitation to community. Philip invites Nathanael, "Come and see." And then they join Andrew and Peter. And eventually there are these 12 close apprentices of Jesus, his 12 disciples, following Jesus together. And as we respond to Jesus, and as we invite others as well on the journey, Jesus is forming a new kind of family, a new spiritual family, including us right here at Willowbrook. So what do we want that family to look like, that spiritual family to look like? This is so cool because we get a chance actually as a new community right here to shape our campus, our culture, our values as a community, the things that are important to us. Our vision here is to connect people in Willowbrook with the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. That's what we're about. That's our purpose. And as we've been discerning this new church plant and talking with people on our launch team, on our core team, what we want this community of apprentices to look like, we've kind of come up with three M's that we've been using: multi-generational, multicultural, and missional. So the first one, we want to be a multi-generational family where everyone belongs and has opportunities to use their gifts to serve. From nursery to kids and youth to seniors, we want this to be a place where people belong, where people of different generations can gather to do church together, to learn together, and serve together. We've got a lot to learn from each other. That's one of the cool things about church. You get to learn from each other here. It's one of the few places in our culture where that can happen, that kind of cross-generational learning and connection. So having our kids as part of worship is going to be an important part of what we're doing here, and having family Sundays where we all stay in here to worship together. Serving as well. I love, if you were here at our soft launch 2 weeks ago, you would have seen a bunch of little kids all in this space here cutting off cardboard off the chairs that you are sitting in right now. We had brand new chairs Each one of them came wrapped in cardboard, every single leg. So 300 chairs times four, we had to cut every one of those off. And you couldn't just peel it off. You had to like take scissors or a box cutter and like slice it off and then unpeel it. There was a whole group of kids just working, doing that. It was so cool. They had fun doing it too, I think. So we want to make sure that there's opportunities for all generations to serve, whether it's together as a family, as greeters. We want to make sure that there's space for our seniors to be included as well and to learn from them and just have them serve in the things that they can here. The second M, we want to be a multicultural community that reflects the beauty and the diversity of the kingdom of God. In the book of Revelation, this picture of the end of all of history, we get a picture of people from every tribe, every nation, every language coming together before the throne, the Lamb of God, and singing together, worshiping him, that song that we sang at the end of our first worship set. And we believe that God is calling us even now to reflect that kind of diversity and that beauty in our community right here. We've been called by Jesus to make disciples, apprentices of every nation. And our city, our neighborhood here, whether it's Surrey or Langley, it's incredibly diverse and multicultural. And so we want to welcome people from every background to worship Jesus together. In a world where there are so many things that divide us, where there are so many things that polarize us, we want to remember that what unites us in Jesus is more important than any of the divisions that we might feel, anything that could separate us. Our third M, we want to be a missional church. A missional church that reaches our community with the good news of Jesus through relationship and through service. You know, as a church, we exist for more than ourselves. Yes, we gather here on Sunday, and it's good, and we want to do that. We want to be encouraged and equipped on Sunday mornings. We want to have great programs for kids. But we exist for more than just ourselves. We want to be reaching our neighborhood, and we want to be inviting them, too, to experience the love and the good news of Jesus. So we're going to do that through relational ways, just getting to know our neighbors, through our prayer walks that we've been having here in the community. We want to do it through programs like Alpha, but also just getting to know people. We want to help to serve our schools in this community, the students and the teachers, encouraging them. We want to look at ways of supporting newcomers to Canada, through places like Raphael House that serve a lot of new immigrants to Canada. So we're excited. We're excited about being on mission with Jesus, wherever he calls us, whatever he's calling us to do, because that's part of following Jesus and his invitation. Over the next 8 weeks, we'll be diving more into the values that we want to have as a community, right? Our core identity, our practices, and how we actually live out that vision and that purpose. So I'm excited to share those with you in the next 8 weeks as part of our series, Welcome to Willowbrook. We're laying the groundwork, right, for our campus, exploring the things that we value that will guide us as a community. If you are here and you're calling Willowbrook your home campus, your home community, your church here, I really hope that you find belonging and community here. Come and be part of God's spiritual family right here with other apprentices of Jesus. We're all new here. We're all brand new here. Find ways to plug in and get to know someone. Maybe it's through serving on a team. Teams are a great way to connect with other people as you're serving together. Maybe you love hosting people. And one of the dreams we have is that every Sunday there would be people who would just say, yes, my home is available. I'd love to have someone over to my place. And if you're new, we would want to invite you to that. So maybe your gift is hosting those places, those dinners, and saying, yes, I want people to come in my home. Maybe your gift is receiving those invitations and being like, yes, I could use lunch. I would like to go to someone's house for lunch. That's a gift too. Someone's got to say yes. Down the road, we're going to have opportunities to engage in more intentional small communities, our life groups, as we call them at our church, our Alpha program that's designed around tables where you sit and you get to know people around a table. So we'll be launching more of those after Christmas. So stay tuned for those in case you're wondering. Remember, we're all new here, and we want this to feel like home, like we all belong here. So think about what you can do to make this feel like home. As I close this morning, and as the band comes up again here in just a moment, I want to let you know about our prayer team. These are amazing people who would love to pray with you this morning about anything. They are going to be standing on either side of the sanctuary here, on that side and that side. They are here to pray with you about anything, anything that's on your heart. Maybe it's for someone that you love, and they're not here today, but you want to be praying for them. Maybe you want to actually be praying with someone to say, I want to follow Jesus. Maybe it's for the first time, and you just feel that call today to say, yes, I want to follow Jesus. I've never prayed that before. I've never said that before. You want to share that with someone. They would love to pray with you. Maybe you want to just say it again for the 100th time or the 1,000th time, and you just want to say, yes, today I want to follow Jesus, and you want to share that with someone and pray with them. I invite you to go and be prayed for and pray with our prayer team. Willowbrook, Jesus is inviting all of us today to follow him, step by step, day by day, to walk with him. As we do that, together with others following Jesus, we have the privilege of inviting others to come and see, come and meet Jesus, the one who loves you, the one who gave his life for you, so that you might live. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for this first Sunday morning here at Willowbrook. We thank you for all the things that you've been doing already to prepare the service, but also to prepare us to be here this morning. We thank you that before we knew you, you already knew us. You saw us, you knew us, and you're inviting us to follow you. God, we just want to, again, respond by saying yes. Yes, Jesus, we want to follow you. Show us this week what that looks like to take a step in following you. I pray this in your name. Amen.